listening to Guitar Goddess Radio.
That was Izzy today, pretty low key, and I'm excited to be here with you today.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited about your debut CD, The Garden, and I've just been listening to it. The music is absolutely beautiful.
Oh,
and yeah, I absolutely love it, and it's so interesting reading about your background, and I'd love it if you could just share with us today a little bit about, you know, your songwriting process. I would like to talk a little bit about, you know, music therapy and Qigong and how you tie all of that stuff together. So, yeah, why don't we just start off with you telling us a little bit about, you know, how this album came to be.
Right. Well, I've been writing songs forever. I mean, I started writing songs really young when I was a little kid. And then I was studying music pretty intensely. I was lucky I got to go to a performing arts high school, like middle school and high school, like one of those fame schools. It was really cute, but it was like a little charter school in Phoenix. And so I was really like deeply immersed in music. And then when I went to college, I had originally intended to study, you know, opera, but then I like discovered music therapy there because it was a program that they offered, and it just kind of blew my mind. Like, just that intro to music therapy course was so fascinating, and it really, it like kind of opened the floodgate. It just shifted my whole, I started getting really into kind of like consciousness theories and just it like world spirituality is like really like finding like what were the commonalities. And the thing about music therapy that's super impactful as far as like how I started to see the world was just really seeing the subtle ways that we relate to each other as people, and like, and then learning about alternative medicine and like holistic medicine and just like vibrational health and kind of how vibration makes up reality, and just like kind of getting into some really deeper layers. So it changed my relationship with how I saw my world, because up to then I didn't have a language to like articulate the things that I had intuited from the time I was a child. And then it just like kind of, it created an opportunity for a lot of vocabulary to come into play that I didn't have before, that helped me really gain a lot of emotional literacy, which I think just in that self-reflective practice, like most artists that I know, they're in that deep self-reflective practice and like using their art form as a way to really touch something beyond what they can conceive, and really as a way to get to know themselves. So for me, like when I started studying music therapy, it really brought my own healing and my own emotional process to the forefront. So for a long time, I was just writing songs that were like for my own healing and like just kind of like my own journey, whatever. And it hasn't changed, but I think that as it kept going and I started really learning about Chinese medicine and medical Qigong, a different sort of way of perceiving life, like, because that whole system is super, super deep, just like it takes the whole emotional responsibility and like healing process to such a deep level that I had never heard of before, and that had never really been opened up before, like just kind of in our mainstream culture. We're not really like practicing a lot of the things that were being presented in this like intensive medical system, you know? And so, yeah, I guess the way that it's really influenced my writing is, again, not only like I've gone through a lot of healing personally, just being inside of those programs and learning these languages, but it really opened me up to insights that I don't think I would have had about my own patterns and like how I relate as a human to this like, you know, phenomenal experience that we're having as living beings on planet Earth. Just kind of a whole different angle to look at. So I feel like just the perspective taking and different like cognitive areas that I have been able to travel, I'd say that that's been like the main influence of those studies for me as a songwriter. So I'm just like, because I'm just in the studies themselves, they like create such vast landscapes of possibilities, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now, and at times, like, and it's like I've gone through different stages of songwriting, you know, like as this, there's different kinds, you know, like some songs are just like for personal healing, some songs feel like they're more anthemic and they're like, feel like I'm speaking to someone, and then sometimes it's just like a story that feels more mythical. It has nothing to do with me in the moment, but then I'm just like, oh, it's my whole intense, just like the ink intensity that we experience. It needed a vessel. And so it's been all over the place.
So do you find that, you know, now that you've gone through this program and you're putting your intention into your music to not only heal yourself, but to heal others, do you find that the songs come to you whole now, or do you still get songs and remnants and you got to piece them together?
You know, every song is different. Yeah. And it always has been that way. I think when I was in college, I used to like, I was, when the floodgates were really opening, mm-hmm. it was more like they would just come and I would just be there and it would write it. And then just in the last couple of years, I've experimented with like more of that fragment kind of writing mm-hmm. where like word pictures would come mm-hmm. and I'd write them and I'd like have them on like a vision board and I'd like just like be sitting them with them for a while and then I'd come back to them and then write them in a song. And I think it was just my capacity for organizing more like higher concepts mm-hmm. for my own self. Like I just needed like kind of more of a visual aid because I think that was always happening. I just wasn't writing it down and like putting on pictures. I was just like tracking it in a different way.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. Like ever since I started mixing The Garden, which was last April, I haven't really been writing any music. Like I've tried, like I've written a couple things. I even tried day kind of thing, which I like got into, but it like wasn't the juice. And so I'm in like this opposite creative process because my whole life I've just always written songs. I like became very obsessive about it, and like I would write, you know, every week, every, you know, multiple times. Like I was just like really into it, supercharged. And it's been kind of interesting to take this like 9-month, 10-month break and not really and just be kind of more in that cooking, like just like sitting and seeing what, like, because if you, like, it's, like, one thing to try and, like, force a song, and it's a nice practice to, like, keep things going, but it's a whole other thing when, like, a muse just comes, and, like, that's all you can do for 4 days is, like, work on the thing, and I haven't had that juju for a while. I think my focus has shifted a little bit in the post-production aspect, like, using different parts of my brain or whatever.
But before, you know, The Garden, before starting this project, was your music writing something you worked on daily at that time? Or was it, I'm just trying to find out, like, at what point did it become a place of allowing instead of, okay, I need to write songs. I need to just bang them out, you know, every day, every week, whatever.
It was always an allowing. I didn't work on writing songs every day.
Okay.
I only worked on writing songs when I felt like it.
Gotcha.
When I was like truly inspired to do it. And that would happen to be a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I wrote songs all the way through recording The Garden because the Garden took us like a year and a half to complete. So for that first year, I was still writing songs, you know, and like, I was like, maybe these should be on this album and then not, you know, it's like they're on the next one.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, that muse is on a retreat or something.
So talk to me about working with the muse, because, you know, a lot of people don't acknowledge, you know, they call it that little voice in their head or that feeling in their stomach or whatever. What is your, did you have a dance with your muse that kind of, you know, you work with on a regular basis, or talk to me about that on a spiritual level, because I think that's really fascinating.
You know, it's interesting. I feel like there's different muses. Like, I feel like there's, like...
the nine muses?
Like, there's the muse that's more, like... There's, like, the ritual music muse. Okay. And she comes on. And that feels, like, very not related to my own experience. That space feels more like a... like, she's holding this kind of ray of... you there?
Yes.
Vegas girls.
Oh, there's just a bunch of noise on
it. There is. It's very weird.
Let me...
Vegas, now it's
Vegas. Hold on.
Okay, you gotta hit when it's...
There it is. Sorry, it was some random thing on, like, a website.
Oh,
like,
no worries. I can edit that out.
Started talking. Okay, great. There's that specific muse that's, like, holding more of, like, a ceremonial space, mm-hmm. and she has a whole... Like, that's a different voice. And then there's this other muse that comes out... that's, like, more intense and, like, dark and kind of dead, like she's holding a lot of death medicine,
uh-huh.
and like she's more in like the completion stage,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then I'd say that there's like another muse that that comes very rarely, but that's just more of like hopeful and like innocent and childlike and like playful. And then there's the muse of just like more like the mourning, like the sorrowful and like. And they all feel really different, but like the energy of actually being inside of like the creative vortex,
mm-hmm.
it feels like multiple timelines are converging, and I feel like I'm connected to all space and time in that moment. Like all of a sudden, things that I'd been practicing for, conversations that I'd been having in my mind, pieces of insight that I had been like slowly. Awakening to like realizations that I'd been having in multiple places, all like the mandala all like sort of comes full circle,
mm-hmm.
and it's like in those moments that they all seem interconnected for the first time, maybe, or like I had been like feeling glimpses of it. And it's a very special moment because it always feels like when it's really true and authentic that it's like a total realization of a stage of evolution of my spirit and of like my emotional body, and it's like a full release. So it's like when that song fully gels and comes into its fullness on and like take the next step off of that plateau, you know, like every and then it's like that giant, it's like the next, it's like if I'm putting steps forward on my path, it's like that just condenses into this huge step in my own understanding of myself. Like I can look back at all of the songs of my like whole history and remember where I was at that time, what I had what I was learning at that time,
mm-hmm.
and then like and how the next song came because I had learned that. Like I wouldn't have been able to learn this until I had learned that, you know, on and on and on. And so it's an interesting thing, and it's like it's funny because when I'm not writing songs and I feel like I'm learning so much, but I'm not having that energy to like fuse it all together and like create the beautiful pictures to like move through. And so it's an interesting cauldron to be inside of, because it's like, well, how are all of these many kind of understandings and realizations all going to weave into the next mandala? Like, is that possible? Like, don't they have to be separate? So I don't know. I'm kind of in that mystery right now.
I love it. It sounds like all the songs that you're writing are kind of like an Akashic musical record, you know. It's like
sometimes I wonder if I'm even real, you know. Like sometimes when a song comes, it feels like it was written 1,000 years ago,
yes.
and like, I was birthed at this time with like a certain karmic imprint or like a certain blueprint, and then to be able to like access these like, you know, time, these like records, you know,
yeah,
of human emotional expression, and that like I have these crazy and it's like the most profound experience of my life as they like orient it into a song. I'm just like, oh my god, like I'm just wondering like who's living a life here, and like what it like really trips me out.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome to be like able to tap into the different realms, you know, and to use all of the angelic presence that's around us to create. You know, they sing, I feel like, you know, all of our, you know, our higher self, our spirit bodies, our angelic sources, they all sing through us, you know, and they send us songs and things that we need for personal healing and that the world needs. You know, and I think your music is definitely, you know, creating a lot of healing for people. And I'm so glad that you're inducing the musical therapy into everything you're doing. And it's just, it's really, really time. The time is now.
I love that enthusiasm. Thank you for sharing that vision with me. It's really like, it's a powerful time, and it's a huge honor to like get to be one of the many vessels and like get to be able to do it in that way, you know, in the way of music, which is such a deep love, you know, and to like get to offer ourselves through that medium. It's like it's such a treat. Yeah. It's its own reward, you know? It's its own reward.
Exactly. Now, when you're performing, you know, I was looking at some of your videos and what have you, and are you, like, setting intentions before your show about what you want your audience to experience or heal from or, you know, I mean, we've got this powerful healer in you, and you're creating this healing music, and then to experience you live has to be, like, an incredible healing experience for not only yourself but for everyone in attendance. Is that your intention during your shows?
As I'm growing more, I'm able to harness more of that energy.
Yeah.
I'd say that for certain shows that I'm putting on and that I'm really putting all that I'm putting on and that I'm doing that like for my released shows and like totally like I put a lot more of that kind of energy and effort. And then sometimes I'm just playing music because it's fun. And it's interesting because, like, what, you know, and then it's like, it feels more ordinary to me. And I feel like in that relationship, people are still having different kinds of experiences. But I definitely see the difference that, like, when I really put the extraordinary attention on creating, like, casting the space and really going out of it, that it's a whole different, then I can, like, kind of surrender in a different way. And I'm growing into a stage of my career performing wise, that's all I really want to do. It just, but then it takes a lot, like, it's an interesting balance because I want to be able to play music in multiple settings and not always have to be so intense about what kind of, but I'm always holding that intention. And I think just the understanding of that what's possible creates that space. And then, yeah, so there are some shows where I really, like, I go there, and it's super fun.
That's awesome. So how do you combine the spiritual arts with the musical arts? Like, how do you do that on the day-to-day? Because, you know, holding that space constantly and just being a creative being, you know, sometimes that can feel a little bit like work.
Well, it's like my partner posted this beautiful thing where it's like, you know, we have different ways of using energy, and either you could be doing something that feels like work, you can be doing something that feels like a career, or you can be doing something that feels like your calling. And like, more and more, my life is showing up that every day it's just a calling, you know, and like that's all that there really is doing the thing that I'm here to do. And so it does feel like work in such a way where I posture it is that I have to be careful to be filling my like cup on a regular basis, so I'm not over giving or burning myself out. But I love everything that I do, and it's really fun and more. And now that I feel like now that I've released this album and I feel that I have like a good representation of what I really am loving about music and about creating art, as far as what I've been capable of up to this point, I could feel more like the stars are aligning to allow that to take more of like its role. And everything that I'm doing in my life, even in my as a music therapist, as a and just like kind of doing the little things, it all feels exciting. And it's like I feel super blessed. Like it's rare that I feel like, oh, I have to go do this thing. The only time I feel that way is if I haven't had enough rest, you know. Otherwise, I'm stoked to do it.
Awesome. And talk to us. Tell me, what does a music therapist do?
Well, a music therapist does so many different things. My life as a music therapist, I work with children and adults who have autism, and I also work individually with children and adults who have special needs or they've had like traumatic brain injuries, and I'm working on neurological rehabilitation. I also work with addiction recovery and then general well-being. And so in each of those settings, music therapy is really different. You know, we're using music as a bridge to build a relationship. We're also using music as a medium in order to facilitate different kinds of processes that happen. So in the case of like children that I work with, I suppose, we do small groups of about 8 kids, 5 to 8 kids, and they each have an aide in order to connect to a small music group and make songs that are familiar to them, that are easier for them. And we're working on movement, we're working on following directions, we're working on language development, social skills, and kind of on musical goals that we would have anyway. Also creating like really fun container on a weekly basis, on a regular basis, that facilitates just kind of relaxation and good vibes. And it helps to just alleviate some of the other stresses that I imagine kids with, you know, special needs are having, because they're always in therapy or, you know, having to be worked with on that way. So it's working on all levels simultaneously. Whereas, like, in addiction recovery, which is something that I also love to do, music is more of a vehicle to communicate. And depending on what we're doing, it's like we're getting in more to like life analysis and using it as like something off have for conversation, how we can heal emotionally, like how we can change our habits, how we can mindset to see a world with more possibility and potential. And then we also use music as conversation and sound healing sometimes with them, so make music. My favorite thing is really like share songs that are specific about specific topics going over and like kind of facilitate a conversation about experiences and emotions that get stimulated by the song, like that they wouldn't have thought about the song evoked the memory because of how that affects our like emotional body, and be able to come and share with the group and safe set and through them to enough state of understanding itself. So in that way, it's really that really influences me. It's like, oh gosh, as a songwriter, being able to speak my story really clearly can, and offer that to someone else, they can understand that in their own reality, not have to necessarily go through some of the stages of learning that I had to go through, but they can have it as a transmission. Just like, that's how I experience with really good songs. They act that way on my own experience. It's just like, oh, finally, someone said the thing, like, I feel it in my soul, like, I don't have to feel suffering around that anymore. Or, like, I'm at another stage of around my suffering about it, you know? So that's in all realms. And just, like, I mean, that's where really the music therapy understanding comes when I'm writing. It's just, like, more articulate I can get about my experience. Like, and authentic and intuitive and really surrender and release it and offer someone who has ears to hear that and plans for them, and it can just shift their whole experience, essentially. Wow. That's my favorite.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, can you just share a little bit more with us about the garden? It's so beautiful. I love the body painting on the cover. The cover's beautiful. The music's beautiful. I mean, oh my gosh, it just seems like such a breath of fresh air musically to listen to. And your voice just sounds beautiful, and the guitar playing, I mean, it all feels like you're in a garden.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I guess the garden, the title got inspired by a book I read called The Garden by Geshe Michael Roach. And it's a book about some Buddhist teachings that I find really fascinating and interesting and influence how I think about the world. And they talk about how our mind is a garden and that all of our actions, our thoughts, our words are planted in our deep subconscious and in our heart. And ultimately they grow into what we perceive in the future. So it's really like kind of a basis of understanding karma, you know, like what goes around, comes around, what we give to our world, we receive, you know, and it might not come until 10, 20, 30 years later. And so just kind of the understanding of that helps me to really identify, well, what kinds of seeds am I really wanting to plant in my own garden? And what am I really wanting to, what do I want to grow? What do I want to nourish? And like, if I see something in my life that I'm not happy with, you know, well, what's the root of that? Like, where was that seed planted? And I don't have to know, but like, how can I uproot it and like throw it in the compost pile and like transition into this other thing? I'm also really like, I feel the garden holds multiple meanings, not only kind of from a karmic gardening perspective, but also from the perspective of like, there's many different flavors in the garden, you know, and it just like there's many different faces of the goddess, right? And so the garden really, I feel like, captures multiple emotive stages of my life. It's not all one mood for me, but it like it's like multiple different moods, and like sometimes it's dark, sometimes it's like I'm, you know, sad, or sometimes I'm like joyful and prayerful, and it's for me that's like a complete picture of a garden and of what a life experience can be like, and to not hide from any of that, right? To like be with the thorns as well as the flowers, and then and yeah, I'd say that also just like getting back to the garden, I really am praying in my own life to find more ways to just get back to be in touch with how to nourish my community, you know, and like just to be in a positive relationship with my earth, and like to just be in that vehicle. And so, and it's also just like the garden's also, it's like the first harvest of songs really for as at the level of creation that I feel inspired to create at as far as production and like kind of thing. So it's it feels nice, like, okay, after all these years of like of permaculturing this bitch, I'm like get it, you know. So it's really that first good harvest of and the establishment of like the permaculture model in my own life as an artist.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, your guitar playing, did you play on all the tracks on the garden project? Or?
Yeah, I played the guitar. That's all my guitar. One of the songs, Lightning in a Bottle, mm-hmm. was adapted from a Carcassi guitar piece, so I did not write the guitar on that. I wrote like half of it, but the theme I used from a Carcassi exercise, which was really fun. But all the rest of the guitar is original, and I played the guitar.
Awesome.
I love the guitar.
What guitars did you use in the recording?
Oh my gosh. I used my beautiful Larrabee guitar, which I was like my first big purchase that I made as like adult making my own money.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to get a really nice guitar, man. I also used my like classical guitar. I don't know what kind of guitar it is. And then Andy, my producer, we borrowed a guitar from the guitar store for Crossroads for this one section where like we just needed a certain like flavor of guitar for that. So those are the three guitars that were used for the record.
Cool. What amps were you using?
I don't think we used any amps. I think it was all mic'd.
Okay.
No electric guitar on this song.
No pedals, no
compression. Not for this one. I like to do looping. I'm a loop artist as well. I love to loop pedal, but none of that loop stuff got onto this record.
Okay.
The looping all came later after all the songs were written and chosen for the album.
Yeah.
I like got a loop pedal and like wrote all this loop pedal stuff that I'm really into, but it's like, but the garden has to come first. Okay, but I'm like, I have all this other stuff over here that I love doing, you know?
Yeah. Well, cool. And what about like live? What's your setup live when you perform? Your guitar setup?
It has been just me and a guitar and a, like one pedal looper.
Okay.
For the last little while. Last year I started, and occasionally I'll have a drummer with me or like a hand drummer. Last year I traveled with my friend Mazen, who's an incredible singer, songwriter, and violin player.
Hmm.
And so she learned a lot of the string parts from the record. And so we traveled as a duo, which was super fun. And then for the release party, oh my gosh, we had the full string, I had like a string trio, and drummers, and bass, and backup singers. And it was crazy. And that was my favorite, of course. And I'm actually in that stage of like, I really want to be playing music with like, more of the full picture. And it's an interesting thing because I also want to be sharing music alone, and to do the full picture it takes like budget and time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, so finding a balance of how can I once or twice a year do the really special full band thing, and then for the rest of the time when I'm traveling do it by myself or have one or two people come with me. So I'm exploring that right now.
Awesome.
I love playing with Mazen. She's fabulous. And I love playing with different drummers. And actually, I'm setting up to go to some festivals this summer, like two or three string players, and like working with different drummers that we'll just know so that we can kind of rotate when at the different festivals that we're all at and play with like a trio or a quartet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who's in your iPod these days? Who are you listening to?
Well, you know what? The last time I was really listening to a lot of music, I was listening. I love Bon Iver. My God. Mm-hmm. I love Fiona Apple's new CD.
Yes.
I'm a huge Regina Spektor fan. My God, she's my fave forever. And I guess I love Andrew Bird. I'm like a big, really big Andrew Bird fan. I love listening to that album. Kirsten Pixton, she's amazing. She's like a kind of like an underground artist that I'm connected with through the community of artists that I play with. She's just, her music's electronic, so beautiful. And also Akara, another kind of underground artist that I'm just, who has like big orchestral like productions with like really masterful orchestration and electronic music combination. It's like so nice. Yeah, I like that's mostly what I'm into. I started getting really into Iron and Wine recently. It's great. Sleeping at Last.
Yes.
So good. Whoa.
That's nice. And tell everyone where they can find more information about you and your music.
Okay, well, you can find me at mariastarkmusic.com. It's M-A-R-Y-A. For all of you Game of Thrones fans, it's very much like Arya Stark, but with Maria for music. Oh!
That's great. And any shows coming up soon?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on the Reverb Nation. I'm on the Twitter and Spotify and SoundCloud. You can find my music pretty much everywhere where music is happening. CD Baby, iTunes, Bandcamp, name it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. This has been incredible. I'm super psyched.
Yay. I feel that you've asked great questions. It's really nice to connect with you and being in tune with so many of the like same kind of energies that I'm really inspired and aligned with. So that's a treat. It really is. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing, and great to be in connection with you.
Thank you. You as well. And I will see you soon, either online or at one of your shows.
All right. Beautiful. Have a wonderful night.
You too.
If you enjoyed this episode of Guitar Goddess, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a positive review. For weekly updates on concerts, events, and VIP giveaways, don't forget to join our VIP list at guitargoddess.com. You can also find us on the web at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Guitar Goddess Co. Until next time, keep rocking.
You're listening to Guitar.